It is good to see everyone this morning on this 18th of June, 2023, and it is Father's Day, so we want to wish a happy Father's Day to all the fathers that are with us in the building and those that are listening and are hopefully going to enjoy a wonderful Father's Day with children and grandchildren. And as I said earlier, we praise God for the provision of a dad. We live in a society and culture in which the role of the Father has been de-emphasized, and certainly the role of the Heavenly Father has been de-emphasized, but we want to thank the good Lord that He knows what's best. And in the beginning, He gave a dad, He gave a mom, He gave the family unit as biblical, and it's the foundation of all society. So if the devil can destroy that, he'll watch the props fall. So we come together today saying we believe in the Bible, we believe in the Heavenly Father of the Bible, we believe in Jesus, the Savior of the Bible, and we believe in the family unit as it is described and set forth in the Word of God, going all the way back to the Garden of Eden. God has not changed, and we praise His holy name. Our Heavenly High Priest, Hebrews chapter 4. I'm going to read to you verse 14, and we need to grasp this and understand that we have a high priest in heaven. Look at what he says in verse 14. Seeing then that we have a high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as I come to you today, I ask for forgiveness of daily sin. And I pray, Lord Jesus, to be cleansed by your blood as I confess sin unto you. And Father, I pray to be anointed by your Spirit, filled with your Spirit, in a spirit of humility to wash the feet of these that have gathered. And I pray, Lord, your Holy Spirit will be our teacher. Father, I believe and I know that at the moment of salvation, you give us the Holy Spirit to indwell us. And at the moment of salvation, Father, you give us a capability through the Holy Spirit to grasp the Word of God and to receive the Word of God, that we may grow thereby and that we can have victory within our lives. And Father, that is my call. You have given me this call to try to help folks, Lord Jesus, through the Word to find the fulfillment in life that you would have for them as children of God. That it's not just a religion, it is a powerful, powerful personal relationship with you that lifts us above this life. So, Father, as we study this today, may your Holy Spirit be our perfect teacher and be my guide. And that, Father, you'll do a great work in us. We thank you and we praise you, Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, teach us today. In your name, amen. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Now, I want you to understand this. Everybody knows Jesus as Savior. Everybody knows Jesus as Redeemer. We've got to grasp Jesus as our high priest. Look at what he says. We have a high priest. You have a high priest. As part of your heritage as a born-again child of God, you have the active role of Jesus Christ in your life from above, carrying out the role of a high priest in your personal life. And we've begun studying what that means. Now, we're going to get to why he's after the order of Melchizedek in the weeks ahead. People don't even know who Melchizedek is. I threw a joke on Patty Wednesday night and embarrassed her, and it wasn't even true. I told the folks, I said, I went to the kitchen the other morning, and I said, Patty, I want to ask you a question. She goes, I don't know the answer. And I said, how do you know you don't know that? Because anytime you ask me that, I always know it's going to be something way deeper than I need to ask. I said, well, I just, simple question, who was Melchizedek? And she said, oh, he was the oldest guy in the Bible. But she didn't say that. And she goes, I didn't say that. But that's Methuselah. Now, both of them start with M-E, so that wouldn't have been a bad answer. I want you to understand, in Genesis 14, there are only three verses dedicated to Melchizedek. Just three verses. He comes on the scene, meets Abraham, and then we don't see him anymore. And we studied some of this Wednesday night. And what I want you to understand, three chapters in the book of Hebrews are dedicated to the role and the order in which Jesus is carrying out a ministry in your life today and until you get to heaven, and it is after the order or the priesthood of Melchizedek. And so we need to learn what this is so that we can grasp the power of the endless life that is being transposed or brought into our life. And so before we get into the details of that, we need to really grasp what Jesus is doing for heaven, in heaven for us right now. And so in Hebrews 4:14, it says that we have this great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmity. Infirmities, his sympathies toward our weaknesses, his compassion, his care, and his love for us. But was in all points tempted like as we are, yet Jesus never sinned. So he knows how to give us victory over the temptation of sin. So in verse 16 he says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of judgment. Boldly unto the throne of condemnation? No, boldly unto the throne of grace, that God will give us mercy. We will obtain mercy and we will find grace to help us in time of need. And so many folks, Jerry, have this concept that every time they do something wrong, there's a lightning bolt. And every time they do something wrong, there's another lightning bolt. And God is condemning and God is coming after them. God understands our struggles. He walked the path of suffering. He endured the cross. He had friends betray him. He had friends deny him. He was tempted in every way as we are, and he wants to help us find victory in our temptation. So last week I told you this. In his priesthood in heaven, right now, active, he is our intercessor. We saw that in Hebrews. We'll see it again today. He is our intercessor. He is praying for us, praying for our needs in specific situations that you're facing right now, and I'll show you in a moment. He is also our advocate, according to the Apostle John, which means he pleads our cause. He speaks on our behalf at the throne of God. We saw two psalms last week where the psalmist said, God is for us. God is on my side. Is that not wonderful? God is on your side. Whatever you're going through, God is on your side. You're not going through life alone. You're not going through life without divine help. God is on your side. He doesn't save you and then leave you alone. That's what the understanding of the great high priest is. And he is an active helper, an active aid. He is sending help from heaven, sending strength from heaven, sending blessings from heaven. Now, you don't have to turn there. I'm going to quote it to you. In James chapter 1, verse 17, it says, every good blessing, every good gift comes from above into our lives, sent down to us from our Heavenly Father in heaven. So I want you to grasp this. You've got the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, which Paul calls the resurrection spirit of Jesus Christ, living in your heart, strengthening you from within. And you are also receiving divine help from the second person of the Godhead, the Word who became flesh, Jesus Christ, who died, rose again, and ascended into heaven. He is still sending out help unto you. Now, I want you to understand we can glean clues from Jesus' ministry here on earth to what his ministry right now for you is in heaven. I want to share with you three intercessory prayers Christ prayed for others while he was here on earth. And I believe he's praying the same prayers in heaven. I showed you one last week, but I'm going to show you two others. Go with me to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. And I'd add another 2 to that and go to Luke 22. I knew that was wrong when I said it. Like I tell Patty all the time, 63 is definitely not 35. In Luke chapter 22, verse 31, the scripture says this. And the Lord said unto Peter, he said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Satan wants to destroy you, Peter. But I, Jesus, have prayed for you. I'm praying for you. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus Christ prays for us. Jesus is praying for us right now, Lehman. You know, I pray to Jesus. We understand that. But Jesus is praying for us. My prayer on earth goes to heaven, to Jesus. Jesus' prayer in heaven comes to earth for me. And here on earth, he says, I prayed for you that your faith will fail not. And when you are converted, I want you to strengthen the brethren. And then Peter said, Lord, I'm not going to deny you. I'm ready to go with you to prison, to death. And the Lord said, Peter, before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times this day. So what does that mean? Number one, I want you to glean from this. There are situations you're going to face this week. Christ is already praying for you in heaven. He already sees what you're going through. What Mona's going through right now, the Lord has been praying for her strength as she takes her mom to the hospital, and she's been up all night. Now what they're going through right now, the Lord has already been praying for Mona, for her to have strength. And then a second point I want you to get from this, he prays for our faith. He prays for our spiritual relationship with him, that our faith is strengthened. Isn't that wonderful? Folks tell me all the time, they say, Brother Lee, I need stronger faith. Well, I want you to understand, Jesus is praying that for you. Then you need to ask the Lord to show you how your faith can be strengthened as you get in the Word of God and get some consistency in your spiritual walk with Christ. You'll never achieve anything physically if you don't do it consistently. I tell Patty all the time, I say, whatever you do, just make up your mind. You're going to do it 3 times a week. You know, 4 times a week. Just get consistent with it. Well, when do you think I'll see results? 6 months, 8 months, a year. But get consistent with it. And there'll be times you get results you don't even realize you're getting them. Same way spiritual. You got to make up your mind. You're going to be consistent with getting along with the Lord. And He'll strengthen your faith. But notice this. This is how perfect His prayers are. And in verse 33, Peter said, Lord, I'm ready to go to prison and to death. And the Lord said, Peter, you're going to deny me 3 times. Not only does he know what our future holds, he knows us better than we know ourselves. The Lord is praying for you about situations in your life right now, about attitudes in your life right now, about feelings in your life right now, that you don't even understand yourself and you don't even know you've got. Is that not wonderful that the Lord is doing these things and all you've got to do is say, Lord, reveal to me some of these things that you're praying for me about. Some of these things that you want to better me in my relationship with you. And so we see this wonderful, he knows us better. Such not, he is before us, he is behind us in Psalm 139. He knew us in the womb. Such knowledge is too high for us. We cannot attain unto it. And I praise God that the God that knows me better than I know myself is praying for me right now. I wish I'd have known this 40 years ago. There have been times I've known I've been strengthened by the Spirit, anointed by the Spirit. I know that every time I get in the pulpit. But I've limited God for myself in the pulpit. I really believe every time I step in this pulpit, Jesus bows at the throne and He's praying for me. And I believe the same thing for you. As you go through situations in life and follow out your calling in life, difficult times as a dad, as a mom, whatever it is you face, the Lord is interceding for you. Now turn the page to Luke 23. Let me show you another intercessory prayer. This time, the first words of our Lord on the cross. They had just put the nails in his wrists, in his legs, above his feet. that they had put the crown of thorns upon him. He'd already been through 14 hours of misery and agony. He'd been spat upon, cursed, slapped, scourged, whipped, all because of the sin of Leodore. He never sinned. And so he went through all of this for me. But for the people that were imposing this pain, imposing this evil, imposing this heartache, these people that were attacking the Lord, Isaiah says that his face was beaten so bad he was beyond recognition. There were people that pummeled him and beat him and pulled his beard out, Isaiah says, by the roots of the hair. And the first thing our Lord does on the cross is intercede for them. And in Luke 23, verse 33, it says that he came to Calvary, they crucified him. And in verse 34, it said, "Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do."
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Is that not a wonderful prayer?
Amen.
How many folks have I counseled in 40 years or met with in 40 years, and they'll say, "Brother Leo, I can't come to Jesus. You don't know what I've done. Brother Leo, I can't come to Jesus. I've got this sin in my life. Brother Leo, I want you to understand, any sin you have in your life, the Lord is right up there right now praying your forgiveness. Praying your forgiveness. There is nothing you can do that would be worse than what this bunch did to the very Son of God physically. Have you beaten Jesus up? Have you spat upon him in the physical? Certainly not. Because you didn't live during that time. And his first words are, "Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them." There are people that are lied to by the devil. It says, "Oh, you can't get forgiveness." I want you to understand, as the Hebrew writer says, the Lord is up there interceding for our forgiveness. The Lord is up there interceding for our covering, interceding for our salvation. I am kept by the power of God through this wonderful ministry he's working in heaven. You have a high priest praying for you right now from heaven, along with the Holy Spirit who is indwelling you. And so this elevates our lives. We'll move this into Hebrews, where it talks about us having a heavenly calling. And we'll understand that once we understand this heavenly high priest. Go with me to John 17. Let me show you a third intercessory prayer. This is right before he went to the cross. In John chapter 17, verse 1, the scripture says this: "These words spake Jesus, and he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said," that sounds like a prayer, right? That's exactly what it is. He's going to pray. We know he prayed in Gethsemane. Well, he's praying right now in the presence of the disciples. He lifts up his eyes into heaven and he starts praying to the Heavenly Father. He says, "Father," on this Father's Day, our Lord Jesus had a Father in heaven while he was on the earth. "Father, the hour is come to glorify your Son, that your Son may also glorify you." But I want you to notice what he prays for his disciples. Look at verse 8. "For I have given unto them," the disciples, "the words which you gave me. And they have received them and have known surely that I came out from you. And they have believed that you did send me. Verse 9. "I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine." I am praying for them. And then in verse 11, "And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, my holy Father. Keep them through your own name, whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are one." What he's saying is, protect them in this world, Lord. Look after them in this world. Don't we need him praying that for us? We talk about being in a hostile world. We talk about being in a hateful world. We talk about being in an anti-God world. God's praying our protection in this world right now. Just like he did then. And he's praying that we'll be one. He's praying that we're going to have oneness, intimacy, and closeness with Jesus. Then in verse 15 he says this: I pray not that you should take them out of the world, but that thou you should keep them from evil. You know what the Lord's prayer is? Lord, keep me away. Lead me not into temptation. Lord, lead me away from temptation. Keep me from evil. I'm praying that up to the Lord in heaven. I'm praying that through the Holy Spirit in my heart. He's praying it down to me. I want you to understand something, my dear friend. You say, Brother Little, this certain sin trips me up. This certain sin trips me up. This certain sin trips me up. God doesn't even want you tempted with that sin. You need to seek the wisdom of God where you stay away from the temptation. You win the game by staying out of the ballpark. You win the battle by staying out of the battlefield. And this prayer is not, let me overcome temptation. This prayer is, keep me away from temptation. Teach me to turn left instead of turning right, and you'll find the victory. And I want you to understand something. If that causes you to take something out of your life, well, I want you to understand God will bring something into it that's so much better. And it'll build you up instead of tearing you down. And so here the Lord is saying, keep them from the evil one. Verse 16, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Verse 17, this is what he's praying for you right now. Sanctify Leo through your truth and through your word. Folks say, I have a hard time getting in the Word of God or getting that consistency with a devotional. My friend, I want you to understand, God, Christ is praying that you will get in the Word. From heaven, at the right hand of God is our intercessor. And in verse 18, as thou sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. You go to college, you know, we get out of high school, we go through all these things and we say, we don't know what to do with our lives. Well, I want you to understand God's praying where He wants to send you right now, what He wants to bring into your life, what He wants for your life. And even me, who now has passed that last quarter pole on that great race course there in Louisville, I want you to understand that He still has a plan for my life until He calls me home. And we need to understand these things. And then He says this, verse 24, He says this, Father, I will, He's still interceding, for they, see, that they, these ones I'm praying for, whom You have given Me, will be with Me where I am, that they may behold My glory which Thou hast given Me, for You love Me before the foundation of the world. So what's He praying up there for us right now? You know, we need to understand something about the intercessory prayer. We always look at the work of Jesus. He died on the cross. He rose again. And we neglect to look past His work. His work for us. We need to look past that and look at His heart toward us. People don't understand the heart of God toward them. Well, what do you mean by that, Brother Leo? Well, what's John 3:16? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. We understand that He gave His only begotten Son part, but we leave out He did it because He loves us. And so in this prayer, you look past the work of God and you see the love of God toward us. His great care for us, His concern, His compassion. He's praying for us to be protected in this life. He's praying for our provision in this life. Then He prays for spiritual growth and sanctification for us at the right hand of God. He prays for oneness, intimacy, and closeness. And then He closes it out saying, He is praying for us to be kept and protected through our journey here on earth and then carried home to glory to be with Him. Is that not wonderful?
Amen.
I mean, if you don't get anything out of this today, I want you to get out. Jesus is in heaven praying for me right now. The role of the great high priest. We need to look at His heart. Go to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. On this Father's Day. I wanted to have this scripture in here. In Psalm 103, verse 13, the scripture says this: like as a father pities his children, like as a father shows sympathy, compassion, and a desire to help his children, so the Lord shows sympathy and compassion and a desire to help those that reverence him and have a relationship with him, because he knows our frame, he knows that we're weak, and he knows that we need his help. That word pity means sympathy, compassion, and a desire to help. Don't you want to help your children? Yeah. Don't you want to help your grandchildren? I mean, that's what we want to do. And in Psalm 103, that's what the Lord is saying. Look at what verse 2 says. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." The Lord wants to pour out his benefits on us. I wrote that last night. And then I went to Psalm 68:19. You don't have to go there, but it says, "Blessed be the Lord God who loads us down, who daily loads us down or pours out benefits upon our life." And so I looked up the Hebrews and it kept saying, "Pour out, pour out, pour out." And so this morning I get this text. And it says this: "Happy Father's Day." And I'm going to skip some of that, some of what he said. But this is one phrase he used. He says, "Can't thank you enough for everything," capitals, "you've poured into me for the past 35 years. Everything you poured into me." And you know, I can see that in my dad. My dad and my mom poured everything into me. And it's a great way to phrase it: all you pour into me. And I want you to understand, Jesus as a father wants to pour into you blessings, benefits, sanctification, spiritual growth. You have a great high priest in heaven who is standing in the gap for you. Now, I want you to understand this clearly, so go to Hebrews 10. Go to Hebrews 10. Because you already know this part of Jesus, but I want you to know the part we're beginning to study now. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10, it says this: "By which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ one time and for all." Do you know Jesus is your Savior and Redeemer? And many of you will say yes, and many who are listening will say yes. I know Jesus as my Savior and Redeemer. All right, as your Savior and Redeemer, he offered his body one time, once and for all. So the work Christ did to purchase you salvation and redemption was a one-time in history work. Go to verse 12. It says this: "But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God." So at the cross here on earth, Jesus did a one-time work. So you know him as Savior and Redeemer. But what about as your high priest? Is that just a one-time work? Go with me to Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. It says this. And this is where we're going to have to study the order of Melchizedek and get a grasp of it. In Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, it says this: "Jesus is able to save us to the uttermost." Save us forever. Save us completely. We cannot lose our salvation. And if we come to God by Jesus alone, not by religion, not by ordinance, not by baptism, not by church attendance, not by thinking we're a good person, not by having reverend in front of your name, none of that. You come to God simply by the blood of Jesus Christ, by the life of Jesus Christ, by the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. And when you come to him, you will see that he forever continues to live at the right hand of God, making intercession for us. So he saves us with a once and for all work. He keeps us saved by a continuous work that will go on until we get to heaven. So I know him as my Savior. I know him as my Redeemer. And you want to grow in knowing him as your sustainer. He created the world, and by him he holds all things up. He saved my soul, and by him he keeps me saved. I am kept by the power of God. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1. And this is what he's doing. He's keeping me by his power. He's praying for me. He's my intercessor. He's my advocate. And he's praying for me right now. He's active in my life. He came to earth. He died for our sins. He rose again. He ascended into heaven. And he's still working on our behalf and for us. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, it says this, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." I've been born again. I've got this hope. I'm going to heaven. I've got victory over life today. "To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you." And why can these reservations in heaven never be canceled? Because I am kept by the power of God through the faith that saved me. Well, what about if you quit faith in it, Brother Leo? That means you lose it. No. Four kinds of faith in the parable of the sower. Four kinds of faith. Three of them weren't saving faith, but the saving faith took root, produce fruit, and never went away. So the faith that saves me is the faith that Christ uses to keep me saved by his power. I am kept by the power of God when I've been saved, and I'm going to be redundant, by saving faith. Not intellectual belief, not believing Christ lived and died, but by that faith commitment. It is a commitment unto Jesus Christ to give him my life, to allow him to take over my life. And so I am kept by the power of God. And this power is emanating from the throne of God in heaven through my intercessor and advocate, Jesus Christ. Go with me to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. I used this verse in South Carolina many years ago with a person that was of a Pentecostal religion. The Pentecostals believe you can lose your salvation, and that you have to have a second experience by the divine gift of the tongues and to speak those things. I don't have that. But in John chapter 10, verse 27, Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life." When Jesus gives unto you eternal life, then it says, "They shall never perish." Yeah. I mean, I can stop there. Yeah. Yeah. Eternal security of salvation. "Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." I want you to understand something. As Jesus is in heaven interceding for you at the throne of God, I want you to know he is holding you in his divine heavenly hand by the power of God. And God the Father is clasping his hand with his divine heavenly hand, and no man can pluck you out. And look at what he says. Look at what he says. "My Father is greater than all, is more powerful than all, and no man can pluck them out." I had the Pentecostal tell me, he goes, "I can pluck my own self out." I said, "Are you a man?" This was when you could ask somebody that.
Yeah.
It's clearly defined. Clearly defined. Well, it's a cash ball. He goes, yeah, I'm a man. And you're more powerful than God the Father. You know what he said? I don't want to talk to you about this anymore. Now that's sad. I don't want to talk to you about this anymore. Because my granddaddy was a Pentecostal. His daddy was a Pentecostal. He's a Pentecostal. And we're Pentecostals and we're right. I want to tell you something. Question everything. Question everything that comes out of this pulpit. Everything that I say, I want you to question. Everything you hear said out of these scriptures, you can question. There is not a verse in the Bible that I am afraid of. I have no agenda I have to protect but the truth of the Word of God. And I praise God that we are kept by the power of God. So as a Redeemer and as a Savior, it's a one-time work. As your sustainer, as your keeper, and as your provider, Christ is still at work at the right hand of God. And that's why the Hebrew writer says, we have a heavenly Father interceding for us. A great high priest at the right hand of God. I want to show you one more verse. Go to Romans chapter 8. I want to show you one more verse and then we'll close with Hebrews 4. In Romans chapter 8, in verse 34, and the King James is a little hard to get the grammar correct, and I will insert the implied negative. And then I'll read the whole context, but I want you to grab something. Romans chapter 8, verse 34, it says, who is he that condemns? And what Paul's saying is, who's condemning you? And what he means here, it is not Christ. It's not the Christ that died for you that's condemning you. It's an implied negative there. Yea, rather is risen again. He's not the one that's condemning. But notice what he says. Christ is at the right hand of God and he's making intercession for you. So grab that. There's the Hebrew writer again. You know what we're reading in Hebrews? Jesus at the right hand of God making intercession for us. And what is in his intercession? Verse 31, what shall we then say to these things that come against us in life? If God be for us, who can be against us? Number one, as he intercedes for you, he is on your side. God is for you. You know, there are times Patty and I'll have a discussion and I'll say, you know, Patty, I just want everybody to be blessed. And I really mean that. I want everybody to be blessed. I want everybody to know Jesus, come to a knowledge of the truth, enjoy the life God wanted for them to have, and I want everybody to be blessed. I don't want anybody not to be blessed. That's what Paul's saying is. God is interceding because he wants everybody to be blessed. Paul told Timothy, God desires everyone be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. So as he's at the right hand interceding, number one, verse 31, God is for us. He's on your side. Verse 32 says this, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up on that cross so that we could be saved, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things that we need? As he's interceding for you, he's trying to give you, he's praying for you to receive the things that you truly need. Freely. Freely. You want to tap into this. Prayer is not boring. Communing with God is otherworldly. It's divine. So he wants you to have all these things. And then it goes down here to say this in verse 37. Nay, in all these things, We are more than conquerors through Him that loves us. The third point, as He's interceding for you at the right hand of God in verse 34, He's praying you get victory in life over certain things you're battling. More than a conqueror. God is on my side. God is praying this for me. God is desiring I receive these things. Man, that's amazing. We know all about the Holy Spirit in us. We need to grasp the second person of the Godhead up there interceding for us. What's being sent down to us from heaven. And then he says this in verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And behind all of it is this great love that He has for you. All these prayers are based on His love for you. As a father pities his children, has sympathy for his children, has compassion for his children, and wants to help his children in every way. When I think about my dad, who is now gone to be with Jesus, the one thing my dad wanted was that I have a better life than what he had. And he had a good life. The one thing my dad wanted was that I had more advantages than what he had. My dad drilled the value of education in me because he didn't care for education. It was hard getting him to go to school. So later in life, he saw the value of it, so he was going to make sure that I didn't miss out. He wanted me to be able to read like no tomorrow. He brought home the classics. He brought home everything he could. And I can remember at 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years of age and through my summers, reading. He wanted me to be able to write and express myself and those things. And that was an earthly father. Your heavenly Father wants you to have all these wonderful things in your life. And so the Hebrew writer, I want to close out where we began in Hebrews chapter 4 with just that one phrase. Where in Hebrews 4 verse 14, the scripture says this. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Seeing then that you have a great high priest. You personally have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens. Jesus, the Son of God, who is there on your behalf. Who desires to look out for you and bless you as He guides you through life. I praise God for the Heavenly Father. I praise God for the second person of the Godhead, the Word become flesh, our Lord Jesus. I praise God for the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit sent from heaven to indwell the hearts of those that make a faith commitment to Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. And I'm going to ask you to just take a few moments. I'll ask Martha Jo to play for a few moments. And as she's playing, I'm going to ask you to take a few moments and just commune with your Heavenly Father. You have a Heavenly Father watching over you. And I want you to take comfort and solace and peace and security in that. That He has provided for your loved ones that have gone ahead of you. He's taking care of them now in heaven, and He's taking care of you here on earth. And during these quiet moments, how about wish Him a happy Father's Day? And thank Him for His desire to provide and protect and to sustain you through life. And go back and read John 17, that prayer that I believe He's praying for you continually in heaven. With heads bowed and eyes closed for a few moments, would you consider Jesus your high priest, your heavenly Father, at the right hand of the throne of God. Peter, I have already prayed for you. Leo, I've already prayed for you. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Always praying for others. Always praying for you, for us. Heavenly Father, I pray not that you take them out of this world, but you take care and keep them, watch over them, protect them, and then bring them home to me.